Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs, this is KF4TEK, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics such as radio equipment, hardware, computers, software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. This evening I have a brief discussion or question on balanced versus unbalanced. But if you have a question or a topic or a thought that you'd like to toss out there for the net this evening, please call now. And hearing none, let's ask for announcements or news. Does anyone have any announcements or news that they would like to share this evening? Please call now.
K1HTV.
N7IVV.
All right, we got K1HTV and N7IVV, so we will take those in order. K1HTV, go ahead.
This is K1HTV. Just want to announce that this Saturday we're going to do another informal breakfast over at the Wegmans on Route 29. We had about, I think, 17 last time, and we'll see what they have this time. Sippy and I will be there. Anybody else wants to join us, fine. It's not a formal club thing, but we are going to gather again on the second floor of Wegmans around 8:30 next Saturday. This is K1HTV.
All right, excellent, Rich. Thanks for the announcement. N79VV, go ahead.
This is N79VV. Just a reminder that there's a test session coming up also this Saturday, 10 a.m. over at the Warrenton Fauquier County Airport.
Go ahead, sorry. Another testing opportunity for those of you who are able to make it and are interested in testing up. So, very good. All right, let us take a round of check-ins. And then I'll talk briefly about unbalanced and balanced and hopefully confuse everybody thoroughly and send everyone running to the textbooks. Then we'll all learn something. Anyone who would like to join us for this evening's net, please call now.
Q1HTV.
WD8QCN.
K1BLX.
CN.
KN4SPL.
AK4GG.
KS1PPY.
W8BT.
WB7RAV. In and out.
All right, hold on. On my list, I've got K1HTV, N7IVV, WD8QCN, K4BOX, KN4SPL, AK4GG, KS1PPY, W8BT, and WB7RAV in and out. I know there were some doubles, so if I didn't call you, call again.
KX4KU.
KJ7APV.
All right, excellent. We picked up KX4KU and KJ7ATV. All right, very good. Okay, so I was looking at my antennas earlier today and thinking about coax and ladder line, and I asked myself, why is coaxial cable unbalanced? And why do we need a balun when we connect HF dipole, or any dipole, I guess, to a piece of coax cable? And I started to do a little Googling, and I started to do a little reading, and I came up with a number of different assertions, I guess is the best way to put it. And I personally am not entirely sure what the definitive correct answer is. So I will share what I have found in that context, and perhaps those who have more formal education on this or remember more can weigh in or mention some other references that we might look into. But at a high level, I guess it really starts with the definition of balanced. And from what I could gather, I'm going to throw out the definition of balanced as equal and opposite currents flowing on in a transmission line antenna system. So equal and opposite currents flowing. And as we know, when we connect a coaxial cable to a dipole and we plug the coax into our radio, the radio applies energy to the center pin of the coaxial cable and to the shield of the coaxial cable. And the energy propagates through the coaxial cable inside through the dielectric insulation because of the skin effect. So there are charges on the outside of the inner conductor, and they are attracted to charges on the inside of the outer conductor. So inside the cable there is this field, and it is propagating down the cable toward whatever load we have attached. So that's all fine and dandy, and the problem occurs when the signal reaches the other end of the cable. So if you had a perfect load or a perfect antenna in a perfect space with zero interfering conductors to introduce extraneous external parasitic capacitances and radiations and all that other stuff, then it appears that you would be fine, that you would have a balanced system. But we don't live in that world. And in the case of coax, there is a readily available, easily used third option for currents to return to the transceiver, and that is on the outside of the shield. So currents on the outside of the shield are not part of the dance between the center conductor and the inside of the shield. And so it's these outer currents on the cable, on the coaxial cable, that give rise to an unbalanced condition. And it's very easy for that to happen with coaxial cable, because that return path is right there. It's the outside of the braid. Now, if you have something like ladder line, which we traditionally think of as, you know, a balanced transmission line, there is not a third path right there for the current to leverage. So it's inherently better at suppressing that extraneous current return path. That doesn't mean your antenna system is perfectly balanced. It just means that the ladder line itself doesn't offer that low impedance return path to, I'll say, ground, knowing that that's an overloaded term. And so it makes it easier to keep your system balanced. This is KF4TEK for the Far East Sunday Night Technical Services Net. So if using coaxial cable with dipoles and probably other antennas makes it so easy for the transition line antenna system to become unbalanced, what do, since coax is so convenient? Well, we use a balun. And what does a balun do? Well, a balun, of course, converts unbalanced to balanced, right? That's why it's called a balun. Okay, well, what does that mean? Is the dipole side is, you know, we can consider that balance. That's the balanced side of the balun when we think about a balun. And the coax side is the unbalanced side when we think about a balun. But we just told ourselves that the unbalanced condition is the presence of an unbalanced current flowing. It's not an intrinsic property of the cable itself that forces anything it touches to become unbalanced. It's that it's more prone to it, I guess, is what I'm currently thinking. But if you put a balun on the end, what you're doing is you are artificially presenting a high impedance to the RF that you do not want on the outside of the coax. So if there's no current, there's no RF current flowing on the outside of the coax, then you don't have an unbalanced condition, and the coaxial transition line is not at that point unbalanced. So, yeah, you can see why this starts to get a little head-scratchy. I found a number of articles on the web that describe this some better than others, and I'm still looking into this. And probably at least one thing that I've said in the last 5 minutes is wrong, or at least subject to different definitions and other specific conditions of setting up the system to describe it that I have not done properly. But anyhow, that's where my technical thoughts are today on amateur radio. Balanced. Why is coax unbalanced? Is it actually inherently unbalanced, or is it just that it's so easy to create unbalanced systems with it that we just call it unbalanced all the time? All right. If there's anybody still left, we will go around the table and see how everybody's doing and what you all been up to in amateur radio. And if you have any thoughts about balanced and unbalanced systems, antennas, transmission lines, and balance. So with that, I'll say this is KF4TEK, and we'll turn it over to Rich, K1HTV. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. KF4TEK in the net, K1HTV. First, thanks for doing the net today. And it's a pain in the neck sometimes, but I do appreciate all the your technical expertise and explanation. So we're always learning something. Let's see, as far as activities, there's a new the expedition on Conway Reef with the call sign 3Delta-2CR, 3Delta-2 Conway Reef. Came on the air last night, worked them on 17 and 20, and then in the morning, before I went to church, I heard them on 30 and 40, worked them on 30 and 40. They're using the Foxhound mode. They're special frequencies. So go to the 3D2CR website, not the website, but go to QRZ. It'll list the special frequencies that they're using. They're not using the standard frequencies. They are using Foxhound, which you cannot do on the standard FT8 frequency. So if you have any questions on how to run Foxhound, I'll be around after the net. Then this afternoon, I heard them on 15, worked them on 15. So I've got them on five bands already, but they've got a number of stations running simultaneously. Conway Reef is the 41st most wanted country of the 340 DXCC entities that are on the currently active list. Been chasing IOTAs, not IOTAs, been chasing W6s. The Route 66 event ends tonight. So far, I've worked 120. I worked my 120th one just a few minutes ago when W6 November showed up on 40-meter FT8. So it was number 120. A lot of stations been active. The only one that not worked is W6F is in Frank, and I understand the person who has that call is sick and it's not been on the air at all. So W6F for Foxtrot is a no-show. Other DX expeditions, other DX coming on right after I worked that station out in the W6 November, which happens to be out in Missouri. On the eastern, more the eastern end of the Route 66, the old Route 66. After that, I just worked EP8 BTR in the Falkland Islands on 40. Big signal, easily worked. There's some special event stations on 9K91 KSA, celebrating Saudi National Day from Kuwait. There's a 4J880 mic in Azerbaijan, celebrating the 880th anniversary of a writer and philosopher Nazimi in Azerbaijan. And another special station that I worked was A60 Expo. They're celebrating the World Expo 2020, not 2021. World Expo 2020 starts October 1st in the United Arab Emirates. So they're celebrating it a year late, but I guess that's because of COVID. So that's what I've been doing, keeping busy and keeping out of trouble and still working on the project to some automatic antenna switching, and the project continues. A lot of wiring, a lot of work to be done on that, but it's coming along. That's it. Back to you, Mike. This is K1HTV.
Okay, Rich, fine business. Thanks for the heads up on the new DXpedition. That's always exciting. And thanks for offering to hang around after and get people set up with Foxhound mode on FT8. All right, let's head over to our next victim, N7IVV. Brad, how you doing?
KF4TEK, this is N7IVV. Yeah, if I had to even answer that question coherently, let alone talk about it, I would definitely be the victim. I got confused on the whole. I mean, I understand the skin effect of current running on the outside of a conductor, but you really confused me about the current, two currents on the coax shield. And if I'm really confused about what you said, that's because I'm confused about what you said. This one sounds like a really good discussion for this. This is a good discussion for sometime. I beat Rich by a long shot with the Route 66 guys. I got a whole 7. I was pushing for the low number for the contest, so I had no idea there were that many stations out there running. But I have been making some effort. I've tried to work them when I could, but I've been seeing a lot of these special stations that are out there too. I want to stick around with you after the Net Rich and do Fox Hound, because obviously I have no clue what I'm doing. I mean, I'm on 10-131 right now, and there's at least 2 stations, maybe 3, but I'm not decoding any of them, and that may be. But anyway, so yeah, I'd like to talk about it after the nap. Other than that, nothing terribly interesting going on here that anybody would be interested in, except maybe you, Mike, and that is repair number 4753 on my Ender 5. The filament tensioner lever broke, and in purchasing a new one, they said, oh, yeah, the other one is quite prone to break. And it's like, okay, why didn't you guys just, you know, replace it from the factory? But add that one to that list I sent you. Anyway, N7IBV back to net. Thanks.
Sorry for the confusion. And, yeah, the Ender 3 is sort of like the Pennsylvania Turnpike. There's always construction going on. I will send out some links to some of the articles I looked at, and the figures are very helpful in visualizing or aiding the discussion, so hopefully that will help a little bit. But yeah, just remember the shield has 2 skins. It has the skin facing the it has the skin facing the center conductor, and it has the other side of the shield is the skin facing the rest of the world, and those can have 2 separate currents on them. All right, we are up to WD8QCN. How you doing tonight?
4TEK in the net, WD8QCN, evening Mike and everyone. Well, I'll answer your question with a question regarding the Balun. I've seen a lot of folks use clamp-on ferrites as sort of a common mode choke in lieu of a ferrite, and I wonder what you think of that application. I suppose it's kind of the same thing as a one-to-one Balun in some respects. It certainly will stop that outer current flow. The other item I had for you was a troubleshooting tip. I ran into a rather unusual failure mode the other night. I was banging away on FT8 in the wee hours. Nothing much open besides 40 and 80, and all of a sudden my rig just went completely dead. Little power surge, thought, uh-oh. Wonder if I blew a fuse. So I measured the voltage, the fuse as being a bit inaccessible in the back of the rack behind the power supply and all, and the rack being pushed up against the wall, not an easy reach. So I measured the voltage at the input connector to the rig and found, you know, 13.7 volts there. So I figured, okay, fuses aren't blown, must have done something to the radio. So I was about to take it apart, and by that time it was about 3 in the morning, and I decided, okay, I'm not going to do that. So went to bed, thought about it, woke up the next morning, and just had this vision of a weird fuse failure mode I had seen years and years ago, where the fuse had blown, the link had vaporized and coated the inside of the glass, and the other ends had, you know, kind of bent over and touched the glass and ended up with a resistor. And sure enough, when I finally got the rack out from the wall enough to get to the fuses, I found one of the two line fuses in exactly that failure mode. It was a 3.6K resistor. How about that one? Back to you. KF4TEK in the net, WD8QCN.
Wow, you learn something new every day. I have never heard or thought of that. That's pretty incredible. You must be exceptionally lucky to have seen it twice in your lifetime. You should buy a lottery ticket. That's very cool. Thank you for that story. I wonder if there are certain types of fuse which are less susceptible to that. Maybe that's a discussion for another TechNet. Anyway, this is KF4TEK for the Far East Cellular Technical Services Net, and we are up to Garth, K4BOX. How you doing?
KF4TEK, this is K4BOX. Thanks for running the net. Doing pretty well. I've been pretty busy with work and just property stuff, homestead stuff for the last couple of weeks, so I haven't played too much radio. However, my son was able to participate in the 4-H Radio Club event that KO4IUM set up, and it has completely reinvigorated his interest in ham radio, which is awesome, and he's been studying like a madman ever since, so I've been helping him with that here and there. So hopefully he'll appear at one of the test sessions here coming up soon. Other than that, hello to everyone. I hope everybody's doing well. This is K4BOX, back to net.
All right, Garth, fine business. Well, congrats on getting the young one interest back engaged. Yeah. And, of course, congrats to Nick and the others who are supporting that 4-H activity. So that's awesome to hear. That's working out. All right, KN4SPL. Bob, how you doing?
KF4TEK from KN4SPL in the net. Good evening, Mike, and thanks for running the net, and hello to all on the net. Let's see, I'm just getting back from a vacation down in Surfside, South Carolina, which is just a little bit south of Myrtle Beach, and I did take some HF gear down there and some VHF, UHF, and had some highs and some lows, which I will continue a little bit later, but I will tell you one true high was witnessing the launch of the SpaceX rocket with the Dragon pod on top. It was an amazing launch. I will definitely say that. Last Wednesday, it was pretty cool to. We saw the whole launch, the separation of the booster rocket, and the booster rocket entering back down and landing somewhere out in the Atlantic. So that was definitely a high point of the night, of the week, I should say. I can honestly say I've never witnessed a rocket launch before, so actually being able to see it truly with binoculars and with the naked eye was awesome. So so that was pretty cool. So Wednesday, I think I'll continue on my highs and my lows, and I will tell you there was some shenanigans that definitely happened, but I'll elaborate on that on Wednesday. So that's all I got for tonight. KN4, SPL, back to net.
All right, excellent, Bob. That sounds awesome, seeing the rocket go. I watched the live stream on my laptop, and I am sure that it is nothing like the experience of seeing it with your own little eyeballs. So, fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. And glad you're back home safe. Assume you're safe, but maybe we'll find out on Wednesday when you discuss shenanigans. Looking forward to it. Thanks for coming. All right, we're up to John, AK4GG. How you doing?
Yes, good evening, Mike, and the rest of the gang. Thanks again for taking the net also. Must be slim pickings for Skippy trying to find people, I guess. Yeah, very interesting, Bob. I'm going to have to tune in on Wednesday to find the next exciting episode here. Yeah, good on the launch, too. Yeah, excellent. Very interesting. Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, right. Yeah, so the, yeah, so HRC fuses, high rupture capacity fuses, quite often will fill the gap between the two fused ends of the inner fuse wire, I guess, with sand or with something that, you know, kind of ensures that they're supported and not actually touching the fused deposits on the glass. But anyway, yeah, it's an unusual failure mechanism. I have heard of it once before, but it's pretty rare. And as far as the balance goes, it's really balanced to ground. So if you kind of think of that, it makes it a bit more easy. And I guess, you know, with the skin currents on both the inside and the outside of the shield, you can kind of think of eddy currents, currents going one direction and currents going in another. Kind of might explain a bit of that too. But yeah, good explanation. Kind of difficult to explain balanced and unbalanced. But, you know, the choke balun is one of them, I guess. It's got multiple turns of coax, and I guess the outer currents kind of collide into each other and cancel each other out as they go around the multiple turns of the choke balun. Nothing much else from me today. I haven't done much apart from a lot of gardening and coming back and doing a lot of work, unfortunately. One disadvantage of going on vacation. Anyway, enough from me. K4TEK, AK4GG.
Okay, thank you, John. Yeah, with respect to the choking action, I failed to respond to the other gentleman who asked about ferrites. And I sent out a number of links, and one of the links describes the implementation of a sleeve balun at the antenna end of a coaxial transmission line. And, you know, the sleeve balun is just something that presents an infinite impedance at a quarter wavelength. And so for that particular frequency, in his example, you know, the end of the coax there presents an infinite impedance on the outside of the shield, and so no current flows, and so the effect of balun is achieved. Of course, the sleeve balun works only pretty much at one frequency. Well, it's a very narrow band device, so the ferrite balun with wound coils and is also described, and is more broadband. And the ferrite on the outside of the coax, again, it's the same idea. You are preventing common mode currents from flowing on the outside of the shield, and if you can do that successfully, the better you do that, the more balanced the system is, and the more and the happier everything is. So, yeah. The only issue with ferrites on the outside is that it can be difficult sometimes to have enough of them in a practical way to achieve the impedance that you desire. But definitely the same concept. All right, we are up to Sippy, KS1PPY. How are you doing?
KS4TK in the net. I'm doing okay. I'm like so super busy, I've barely kept my brain together. With being one person down at work, it's made things super interesting and hard to keep up with. But I'm getting there slowly but surely. Thank you so much for running the net. And yeah, volunteers for other nets are few and far between. We've got WAQCN graciously stepped up to take a Sunday a month, and still looking for some weekday people who might run, you know, maybe a net once a month, just to kind of alleviate the pressure on these guys who do a fabulous job of doing these nets. You guys always impress me with what you step up to the table with and do it week after week after week. I've forgotten about balanced and unbalanced just the thought of it, and remembered I still have a PVC pipe up on my roof wrapped with about 20 yards of coax just to fight with that whole thing to get my OCF working correctly. I've worked off and on some of the Route 66 stations
just sort of in passing, going back and forth. I have no idea what my count is up to, but hopefully I can figure out how to get those over to Bruce as soon as I can, and get this friendly competition going. But I'll throw it back to Net for the moment before I stumble over too many more words. KF4TEK, KS1PPY. Oh, you're doing great, Hippie, and thank you for the kind words. Appreciate it. And thanks to WDHQCN for offering to, well, for signing up. Just let me know which nights I can stop worrying about, and we'll pour a glass of wine. Hope work doesn't kill you, and things smooth out, and you get some more time for ham radio at some time in the future. So we miss chatting with you, but keep fighting the good fight, and we'll catch up with you again sometime in the future. This is KF4TEK for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Services Net, and we're up to Travis, W8BT. How you doing?
Good evening, Mike, and all in the net. This is W8BT. Thanks for running the net, first off, and I got a comment on Steve's comment tonight about the fuse. I've never seen that happen with a fuse yet, but I always generally, when I'm testing a circuit, use a test light, at least in a 12 volt DC circuit. I've found many times you get corrosion or a broken set of strands of wires, and you may have voltage, but you may not be able to pass more than about 50 milliamps for the current. I've actually got one test light that pulls about 8 amps. It's a headlight with both filaments wired together. So I wanted to throw that out there. As far as balanced versus unbalanced, my loops that I use for VAQP are fed with ladder line down into the shack into a MFJ 949 Echo, I think, a tuner, which has a balun in it, and then a short piece of coax to the radio. That's always done very well for me. My other HF antenna is a ZX6PKW with about 37 feet of ladder line I built myself into about a 25-foot piece of coax, which there's about 8 turns around a coffee can as a balun. So I've always had very good luck and not really had much issues with any skin currents. A little bit here and there. I have had some issues on 10 meters and some on 80 when the ZS6BKW is above my house. But I don't know. I really like ladder line. The only issue is grounding it. That gets a little more complicated. But anyway, thanks for doing the net tonight, Mike. This is W8BT. Back to net.
All right, fine dinner, Travis. Cool that you made your own ladder line. I think, you know, I've seen more than one article from the ARRL and others that say, you know, the easiest way to get up on all the bands is throw up the longest dipole you can, feed it with ladder line and to a balanced tuner, and you're off to the races. So lightning protection for that and entry into the house is sort of, the stumbling block that many mentally encounter and then just go for the coax solution. So maybe we should have a presentation at some point on installing ladder line in your shack for your, you know, for your antenna system, and see it's just how easy or hard it is, and maybe more people would do it. I don't know. Very good. All right, we're moving on to Kevin, KX4KU. How are you doing?
KX4TEK, KX4KU in the net. Good evening, Mike. Thanks for doing the net tonight. Sorry, my throat's a little sore. Couple things. The only thing I really can ever remember with balanced and unbalanced lines is coax is unbalanced, and ladder line and a window line is balanced. So that's the easiest way I can keep things together in my brain. I did not know all that you described at the beginning. Bill, I've got to turn it back over to you. KF4TEK, KX4KU.
All right, Kevin. Well, thanks for coming. And, yeah, you know, your car warranty has expired or may be expiring, so make sure you get that call. Hi. all right, Becca, KJ7APV. How are you doing?
KF4TEK, KJ7APV. Doing well, thanks. Greetings to everybody on the net. Not much new happenings here. Repeating myself and just doing my house refurbishing, coming along steadily on that, and my college work, that's about it. Haven't done much with radio, so I'll just keep it short, and I wish you all a good evening. 73, everybody, KF4TEK, back to net, KJ7APV.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for making a few minutes to come in and chat and check in with us, and good luck on your studies and other endeavors. All right, that is the end of my list, so I will ask if anyone else would like to join us this evening or if anyone else would like to put in two more cents and add to their previous comments with a recheck. So anyone who would like to join us or anyone who would like to recheck, please call now.
This is K1RA.
This is Kilo Oscar 4, Mike Bravo, November.
This is Kilo Oscar 4, Lima Charlie.
W8BT, recheck.
All right, we got K1RA, KO4MBN, KO4LLC, and W8BT, recheck. And so let's take our new folks first. Andy, K1RA, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, Mike, and everyone on the net. Just getting in from doing some yard work, so missed most of the net, but wanted to say hi. And at the FARA group now, I'm just composing an email, wrapping up last weekend's VHF contest results from our operation out on the Shawneeland out there west of Winchester. For those who saw my extreme VHF-UHF microwave contesting presentation last week, this will kind of be a tail end to how we wrapped up our time in the ARRL contest. Some pictures, some videos, and some results. Had very good propagation. I worked out several hundreds, up to 1,100 miles on some of the VHF and UHF bands, so definitely a good time was had by all. And that's it. Hoping to make the upcoming informal breakfast. I guess I heard from my dad next Saturday, so hopefully see some far faces there. Back to net, K1RA.
All right, very good, Andy. Well, let us know how tongue meat mouth. Let us know how that all adds up, VHF contest wise, and maybe we'll see you Saturday. Not sure yet. All right, KO4MBN, how you doing?
KF4TK, KO4MBN. Good evening, and yes, thanks for running the net. Just came back from vacation. Had to go back to work yesterday. Fortunately, wasn't terrible. I've been doing a lot of FT work, FT8 work when I can. Trying to actually do some gray line right now, but it's not coming in. Hit Scottsdale, Arizona, and Tucson, Arizona the other night on 10 meters. Still trying to work that DM and DN area. So I can, one more county is all I need, so I get my county's award and cures it. But I do have a question. Anybody that can answer it. Is there a professional organization out there that can make some suggestions for me with my antennas? Help me do the grounding, and I want to bring everything into one location in my office on the side of the house. I'm doing a remodel right now. So this is the time to do it. I hate to be a cop-out, so, but I don't have time to do it myself. Anyhow, KF4TEK and the net, KF4MBN.
Okay, fine business. Well, good luck with the remodel. A professional organization to help you with the entrance panel. That's a good question. I know lots of amateur people who would throw their hat in the ring, but I'm not sure frankly, who I would call for that. If anyone has any ideas, then go ahead and give us a call now.
K1HTV with an idea.
Rich, go ahead.
We have an electrician who checks into the net. Maybe he could. I'm not sure if he'd take on side jobs like that, but there may be some electricians who could do the work. If it's including the perimeter ground, basically you need to connect your AC ground to your shack ground, and if you have a tower, you need to connect that to a tower. So a perimeter or a semi-perimeter ground, which is basically number 6 wire and ground rods every 20 feet. And that's enough to at least then tie them all together with some number 6 at least, and then bring that into the shack. But it's not that difficult. Of course, you need to trench it and make a little trench. Pound a lot of ground rods in. Not an easy job unless you get the right tools. So you might check with Bob KN4SPL. He might have some ideas on that.
All right. Thank you, Rich. And if Bob's around after the net, maybe you can hook up with him, KO4MBN. The Yellow Pages? I don't know. Does anyone still have used Yellow Pages? Probably not. All right. I'm not that old. KO4LSC, save me from my own mouth. How you doing tonight?
Good evening. Yellow Pages are kind of going by the wayside, but there are smaller ones out there somewhere. George in Chancellorsville, enjoying the discussion again, as always. I've just kind of discovered the 1-1 balance versus using miles and miles of coax wrapped around pipes. Kind of interesting, as always. Sorry to get in early enough with this doing the birthday celebration for me, myself, and I. Anyway, thanks a lot for all the information, and once again, notching up my IQ 1 or 2 points every night I hear you guys. KO4LLC, back to net.
All right, George. Well, happy birthday, and thanks for joining us and checking in. All right, Travis, WABT, go ahead with your recheck.
Hey, good evening again, Mike and all in net. Again, thanks for going in net. Looking forward to Andy's email about the how everything in the VHF contest went. I forgot to mention, at least when I had the loop up for VAQP, my lightning protection is to basically disconnect the loop and essentially shove the ladder line into the ground so that it's not coming anywhere near my house. And I thought KO4MBN's idea that's quite interesting. That might be a great business model for anybody looking to start their own business that knows what they're doing. Bob? But, at least my ZS6BKW, the shield of the coax that comes into the house is at least grounded, and that's about all I've got. I think it would at least hopefully satisfy any insurance companies would anything bad ever happen. But, it's kind of, we do what we do, and we hope that the insurance companies will cover it, I guess, basically. But that would be an interesting concept for a business model. I don't know if I would want to insure it, but anyway, W8BT, back to net.
All right, Travis. Yeah, I have no idea. I know one thing about insurance companies is they know how to weasel out of just about anything. So, I don't know. But here we are at the end of the list. So this is KF4TEK. I would like to thank everybody for joining us this evening and remind you that if you would like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FARA, please see our website, w4va.org, or try sending an email to faranet@w4va.org. Please stand by.
QCN.
All right, this is KF4TEK closing the Faranet and returning to Peter's normal amateur use. Thank you. Good evening. WDAQCN, go ahead.
I didn't realize I missed the recheck list there, Mike, but had a quick comment. Number one, I heard 8J1RA on 30-meter FT8. That's the Japanese Antarctic Station, so if you need Antarctica, check out 30 meters late at night for them. As for grounding, make sure that number 6 loop is below the frost line. That's one of the regs. And I've got good documentation on how to do a Motorola R5 grounding system. Do I have that at home? Haha, I wish, but not yet. Anyways, if anybody needs that, just give me a shout. WD8QCN.
Awesome. Thanks for tossing that back in. I'm out of here. Everybody have a good night and a good week. KF4DEK.
This is K1HTV. Is anyone interested in learning how to set up WSJTX for the Foxhound mode, specifically for this 3D2CRD expedition, but for any D expedition? Any takers?
It's interesting.
I'll be listening, Rich.
WDAQCN, who else?
KO4MU.
KO4MBN, anybT. Else?
WABT.
T, anyone else? Did you fall asleep, Brad?
Well, almost. I was willing to wait, but heck, since everybody else is doing it, I'll follow along, N7IVV.
I've got at least four, and there are probably some others listening. Okay, here's what we're going to do. If you are in front of your computer now, and you have WSJTX up and running, I will walk you through the setup that is needed for the Conway Reef de-expedition, but you can do this for any de-expedition once you understand how it's going on, what's going on. So, first of all, QCN, are you... is it QCN? WDAQCN. Are you near a computer?
Yes, I am. Just getting it set up right now.
MVN?
Yes, sir. Trying to get some gray line on 10 meter.
Okay. WABT, are you near a computer and you're with WSJTX?
Roger, roger.
Brad?
Oh, of course.
Here we go. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to create a configuration for this particular de-expedition. So you don't have to do a lot of extra steps each time you when you want to switch between normal operation and de-expedition, you don't want to have to do a lot of change. So we're going to do it once for a de-expedition. You can make a common de-expedition one if you want, but sometimes the frequencies change, but it's a separate thing. We'll tackle that later. So here's what we're going to do. Click on the configuration, which is right next to the file on the upper part of the WSJTX. And one of the options will be clone. So whatever you're using right now, if you're using a default or whatever you're calling it, normal, whatever you call your normal configuration, which has all the normal settings in it, make a clone of that, and that's the first step. The next step, click on the config again and switch to the copy that you just made, which will say copy of whatever default, and that'll switch to it. That's the second step. We're going to click on config a third time, and this time we'll click on rename, and a box will pop up, and you're going to type in, let's say, 3D2CR, and then click the OK button. If I've lost anybody, call now. Okay, proceeding. Now the next thing we're going to do, we need to make changes for the Foxhound mode. We've now switched, and we have a separate configuration for 3D2CR, and now we're going to make the changes. We did not want to make the changes to the normal default setting. Or you can rename that to normal if you want. But anyway, so now we've got the 3D2CR special configuration. Hit the F2 button, which is the setting. Same thing as hitting file settings. So hit the F2 button, bring up the settings. Go to the advanced tab, which is on the far right on the upper part of the setting screen, and you'll notice there is an area called special activities in the lower left side, left quadrant, and you want to select Hound and then click the OK button. Did I lose anybody? So far, so good. We're halfway there. Now, we're going to make specific frequency changes. Because what we're going to do is from the pull-down menu, when you pull the pull-down menu next to the left side of the frequency box, which is usually in black with yellow letters, to the left of that, there's a pull-down menu, which allows you to select different frequencies. We're going to only have the special DX frequencies that they're going to be using. So what I would do, go to QRZ.com, bring up another tab in your browser, and find 3D2 Charlie Radio, 3D2CR. And once you find that in QRZ, scroll down about halfway, and you'll notice a number of frequencies for FT8, Fox and Hound mode, and then /bar FT4. So we're going to focus on the FT8 now. You can do the FT4s later if they even operate there. But Has everybody gone to QRZ? If not, call.
Working on it.
Tell me when you're ready. This is K1HTV.
88QCN, I'm there.
Is there anybody not there yet? Now, you'll notice that for each band, they're in red. They have the frequencies that they plan to use. I'm going to do, maybe three or four frequencies. I can do a couple. You can continue on, but I want to show you the procedure. All right, so first thing we're going to do is bring up the F2 settings key and click on the tab that says frequency. So F2, bring up settings, click on the frequency tab. After you've selected the frequency tab, we're going to erase every frequency that is there. There's FTA frequencies, echo frequencies, all kinds of frequencies that you don't need. So go to the very top line, and left click on the top line, it'll turn blue. Then to the far right, there's a pull down, little gray box. Just pull it all the way to the bottom, hold the shift key down, and left click on the last line. Everything should turn blue, and after that happens, right click and select delete, and everything should disappear. If anybody have problems with that, call.
Where are you supposed to click, Rich?
Settings, in the frequency box, go to the very top, scroll up to the very top entry, which will say all, and you'll get the mode and then the frequency. Left click on that, and that line should turn blue.
I'm in the settings and frequencies, but I don't see the all.
Okay, under working frequencies, under IAU region, it may say all, it may say region one. Anyway, under the first entry underneath IAR region mode and frequencies, the first entry below that, you want to highlight with a left mouse click.
Roger, roger.
Pull down that right, pull down gizmo on the right and slide to the very last one. Hold the shift key down, left mouse click on the last line, and everything should turn blue.
Roger, roger.
Then right click, delete.
KO4MBN with a question.
With a question.
So I'm in QRZ, Rich, and I typed in 3D-TCR in the search. It's bringing up the Conway Reef Expedition Part 2. How do I search the other that you're talking about?
I'm going to use those frequencies in what we're doing now. And what I've been doing is from WSJTX, hit the F2 settings and bring up and click on the frequency tabs. That's where we're doing the work now, okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was on the right page. I've been following you up until, I think I'm looking at what you were talking about earlier.
Now, did you delete all the frequencies that were in that box?
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to create a frequency. Let's do the first one for 20 meters. Going to right click, select insert, and leave the IARE region to all. For the mode, select FT8, which will be down there at the bottom somewhere. And then for frequency type, 14.090, which you'll notice is the 20 meter frequency that they're using. Then click OK. Any problems with anybody? Let's do one for 17 meters. Right click, insert. Go down to, the FTH should already be there, so just type in frequency 18.095.
This is W4VA repeater, PL167.9 Hz.
K1HTV, we'll do a third one, right click, insert, frequency 21.091. And then click OK. And then click OK, close that box completely. Has everybody done that? Has anybody not done that? Now we got only the frequencies for that. The reason I mentioned those three, because right now as I talk, I'm copying those three frequencies, copying 3D2CR on those frequencies. 15 is quite loud. I'm surprised to see a plus 17, but that's for the Aggie.